I'll be reading 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 44 to 53. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 44. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they be carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, We have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all their trespasses wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. You may be seated. God bless you.
Christian greetings this morning. It's good to be here with you. I'd rather be there than here. But this is the call for this morning, so to God be the glory. We bring greetings from our churches there in Belize, especially from our home church, Haddeville Pilgrim Fellowship Mennonite. It's a blessing. Or they send their greetings with you or with us for you as well. We'll come back probably a little bit later to the portion that was read here. And I want to introduce the sermon this morning with one verse from Genesis chapter 5. I've entitled the message this morning, Walking with God. I'm certain that this is probably not the first you have heard of that. I'm certain that over the years you have been hearing about your walk with God. The very fact that you are here, a well-established church, for many years, I'm certain that you have been walking with God. I can safely say that my conversion probably goes back to some influences from this very church here, because we have had missionaries in Belize, a few from here as well. Walking with God. Genesis chapter 5. Verse 22. And Enoch walked with God, after he begot Manasseh 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God. We'll find that phrase several times, different places in the scripture, of people that walked with God. Today, I trust that if we had to rewrite the scripture, that God could use your name, my name, her names here today. Walked with God. Or you are walking with God. And what does it mean? I have several points I'd like to bring out briefly. What does it mean to walk with God? I'm pretty certain that if I should open this question to you, I'm certain that there will be enough answers, enough responses, that you could probably preach the message yourself of what walking with God means. But I'll look at some basic points this morning. I'll start out with the first one. Walking with God means separation and self-denial. Walking with God means separation and self-denial. God called his people out of Egypt. And we know that Egypt typifies slavery, sin, the wilderness, oppression. The thoughts of Egypt are not the nicest ones. But this morning, I still believe that God is still calling his people out of Egypt. Out of the world. We are encouraged from time to time in the scripture to be separated. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Come out. Come out. It speaks of being adopted into the family of God. It speaks of us being able to say, God, my Father. God, my Father. Like the little boys and girls say, Daddy. Daddy. And when God calls us to walk with him, then it means that we must close our eyes to the things of the world and the things of the past. And I don't know what your Egypt may be. I don't know what are the things that you long for, that you find yourself going back to, but you know. I'm sure you know. I just want to encourage you this morning. If you want your walk with God to be a fruitful, enjoyable, if you want to enjoy your life with God abundantly, then we must come out from Egypt. Depart out, touch not. Move away from it. A separation. Love not the world, 1 John 2:15 says. Neither the things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Take a quick census of your affections. Where are they this morning? Set your affection on things above, Colossians 3 tells us, not on things of the earth. To walk with God, to serve God, we must be willing to forsake the things of the former life, the things of the world. We cannot serve two masters, the Bible tells us. We cannot serve God and the world. As a matter of fact, that's a contrast, a great contrast. You know, this morning in our Sunday school class, the subject of being possessed with demons, well, I guess that was part of the discussion last week already, but we had it. It came up again this morning. And, you know, I get the sense that among us here, we are a little on the shy side to want to refer to others as being possessed with demons or possessed by the devil. I think we get hung up a little bit on the word possessed because, you know, it has a real negative hold. But I want to tell you this morning, brethren, that according to the word of God, you are either for him or against him. I want to tell you this morning that you are either walking with God, you're walking away from him. That's pretty plain talk, pretty straight talk. But there is no in between laid out in the scriptures. And so I trust this morning that I'm among people that are walking with God. Because I wouldn't want to be here this morning if that's not the case. I think you wouldn't either want to be here if that's not the case. So I trust this morning that I am among my brothers and sisters that are walking with God. If you don't want to do that, well, I think I've said enough. Let's walk with God. Let's drop the things that are abomination, the things that cause division or separation from God. I'm not here to point out this morning what these things are. All I can say, I can sum it up in one word, sum them all up in one word. And you know that word as well. Sin. Sin. If there is sin in your life, it hinders our walk with God. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. We cannot walk with God and walk in the world at the same time. I'm glad, in a sense, I'm glad to know that I only know you people as on Sundays. So what I see of you gives me a very good impression. Because I cannot look over you here this morning and get any negative feeling. You look like real nice, good Christian people. But that's your Sunday looks. That's what you look like on Sunday mornings. And I don't want to peek in your houses and sneak up on you during the week. But I'll give you the benefit of the doubt because you are Christians, that you are walking with God. And so if I meet you out there on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you'll be the same. You are the same. Walking with God. Point number two, to walk with God involves holiness and moral purity. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. I'm comfortable in saying that to you. I'm comfortable. I believe in my heart that you are here this morning with a desire to draw closer to God, with a desire to fulfill your call to be holy as I am holy. And if this is your desire, welcome to your walk with God. If it's not, the Bible says, without which no man shall see God. You were brought out of the land of Egypt. You were plucked out of the world and the sins of this world for one reason. For one reason. To be holy. And we dare not lose that thought. We dare not forget the fact that that is our goal, that is our strive, that is our aspiration, that is what we are pushing for. Holiness, that is your call. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Yes, we think of heaven and we long for heaven. It's beauty. That's wonderful. But that's your reward. That will only come about as a result of your walking with God. You were delivered from your enemy to serve God in holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1, it tells us in there that our moral cleansing and purity are part of our holiness. Clean hand and pure heart is a part of your walk with God. Clean hands and pure heart. These are part of your walk with God. We are encouraged again in 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. In word, in conversation, in your thoughts, in your action, keep yourself pure. That will enhance your walk with God. We are either with Him, gathering with Him, or we are scattering. The walk with God also involves grace and gentleness. These are some of the attributes or some of the things that cause people to want to be with you. Maybe you don't see it as much here in your setting because you're pretty well, you know, in a little somewhat sheltered community, I could say, to a certain extent. But in Belize, or in Haddonville where we live, our youth group, or the youths that attend our youth programs, probably there are more non-Christian youths than there are Christian youths in our midst. And it's basically because the young people in our setting there, they feel safe around us. They feel accepted. They feel that, you know, it's a place to be. Even though they have not all given their lives to Christ, they still like our company. And the reason is because there is a certain measure of gentleness that they enjoy. Grace and gentleness. And this is why we come together to worship. Because we enjoy being with each other. There is grace here. Grace here. There is gentleness here. And so, we are supposed to have an attracting effect on each other. I enjoy being, when I was a younger person growing up, I enjoy being around older Christians, older people, generally. There was, to me, a certain grace and gentleness among them that I enjoy being in their presence. And it's the same way here. I enjoy being with you. We should enjoy being with each other because one of the things that the world is looking for is acceptance. And they don't find it out there. Now, if you come to the church, and like the brother said here in the devotions this morning, especially this church for you. If you come here and you don't feel that grace and that gentleness, then something is wrong. Have to be. Real wrong. One of the things that always catches my attention when I go to a different fellowship or to a different church. One of the things that I note is how quickly the church house gets emptied after we say amen. That speaks a lot for your church, for your fellowship, for your grace, for your gentleness. It speaks a lot. And if you're here just waiting for the amen, then you need a little bit of grace in your life. I've been to churches where people linger around an hour, up to an hour or more after the service, just socializing and just talking and just being gracious to each other. That's a part of walking with God. It comes as a result of your walking with God. Great grace was upon them. grace of God empowers us for a service. And we heard the report here this morning. You know, and that's wonderful. I thought about it. I was here from last week, and I was kind of like just milling around this week, and I probably would have gone along on the trip if I knew about it. But we'll leave that for another time. But grace empowers us. Walking with God makes us want to reach out to others. Walking with God shows us the needs around us. There is always room for others when we walk with God. We are not selfish. We are not stuck-up people. But we are gentle. We are energized. And we have an inviting spirit to others. We are graceful. We speak gentle to others and about others, not evil of others. To walk with God involves humility and tenderness. In Acts chapter 20, verse 19, it speaks of serving the Lord with all humility. And it seemed to me like humility is coupled here with gracefulness. When we serve the Lord with humility and with tenderness, with gracefulness, it makes the walk even more enjoyable. Serve the Lord, walk with God, always willing, always looking for an opportunity to be, for an opportunity to reach out to someone, if it's just a cup of cold water. And I purposely chose the simplest thing I could think of there. Just a cup of cold water to offer to someone in need. Right? And I trust that we go way beyond that. But walk with God in humility encourages others to want to join the walk. When we walk with God in a way that we humble ourselves, it makes others want to join us. I would hate to think that the best word people could use to describe you would be stuck up and proud and selfish and that kind of word. On the other hand, I trust when your names are being called, it brings a light, a joy to the face of other people. Because you are a nice person to be around. In Isaiah 66 and verse 2, it says, "To this man will I look." It was referring to a man that was humble in spirit, that had a broken heart, a contrite, a humble person. How many of you would like to be referred to in such a plain, straightforward, I could even use the word simple way. Oh, he's just a nice little person to be around. He's just a nice person to be around. When he makes you feel like you're someone. Or are you of the set that people say, oh, he looks down on you. You don't feel comfortable in their midst. How do you think I would feel this morning if I would come up here with a conscious thought that you'd be sitting here and wondering, well, just what would he say this morning? Or, you know, what can he tell me? Or he doesn't have anything to tell me. I preached one place in the U.S. one time, and during the service, a little lady jumped up and she said, you mean they're black Mennonite preachers? I don't know if she got anything else from the message. But yes, the black Mennonite preachers still use the word of God. The Bible says, to this man will I look, one that is broken and contrite in heart and in spirit. One that has respect unto the lowly. Psalms 138, verse 6. One that has respect unto the lowly. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And that can only be practiced on the road as we walk with God. Kindness, tenderhearted, forgiving. That's for people that walk with God. The world cannot understand this. Walking with God also involves, I'll close with this thought, faithfulness and uncompromising decisions. Faithfulness, that at the end of the day, God could say to you, well done, the good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. And we walk with that in mind, that when we see Christ, Christ will say, you have walked with me long enough that you have become like me. And if our goal is not to be like him, then we are walking in vain. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a little thing, or maybe I should say, faithfulness should be in little things as well as in things that we consider great. But let us be faithful for the reward and the crown is to the faithful. Another way of saying to be faithful, I believe, is to say to walk with God. Abraham was faithful. Noah was faithful. Job was faithful. But we could basically say These men walked with God. And your walk with God this morning, I believe, will be characterized by your life of faithfulness to Him. Your walk with God will be as close as to how faithful you are to Him. How is your walk? Or are we those that are following afar off? I trust not. I trust not this morning. That there is within you a burning desire to get closer to God. Men, sometimes when we are walking out with our sons, we will know that our little boys try to match our stride. I don't know if you ever notice it, but sometimes they do. They want to walk just like daddy walks. Make the same length stride, and sometimes they really have to make an effort to do that. Right? But they want to walk like daddy walk because they want to be like daddy. And the girls say the same thing. I want to be like mom. And I trust that we like that. That we enjoy that. It brings a good feeling to us when our children say that they want to be like us. Because if that's not the case, then something's wrong again. But another way of saying walking with God or to walk with God is to say to be faithful. To be faithful. And there are many men, many stories in the Bible where people have been faithful. And we attribute these people to those that walk with God. Psalms 16 and verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. That brings stability and confidence. When we walk with God, when we are near to God, it brings a sense of belonging to God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So the closer we stay with Him, the closer, the more we'll sense His presence. Which ties in with our faithfulness as well. The more faithful we are to God, the closer we sense Him. And as we start being unfaithful, we sense that there is a distance between us and God. Set the Lord always before you. I like Daniel's idea. Daniel said, I will not defile myself. Purpose in his heart not to defile himself. And we can determine that for yourself each day in your walk with God. I will not be moved. I will not make a mistake. I will not let anything come between me and my God. If I should have to go anywhere in this area, it probably won't take me more than the first three or four turns before I get lost. But if one of you should say, follow me, and you get in your vehicle and I get in mine, you know what I'll try to do? I'll try to make sure that no other vehicle gets between you and myself. I want to keep you in view. I want to keep as close to you as possible because I don't want to get lost. Isn't that the same with a walk with God? We won't allow anything else to come between us and God because we don't want to get lost. We'll make sure that we stay in close contact with Him. And that's my word to you this morning. You have come a long way. We have all come a long way. We're not quite home yet. Let's keep Christ in view. That our walk could be fruitful. So I'll close with saying 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Do not allow anything to get between you and your God, and enjoy your walk with God. Shall we kneel in prayer?